Lord, we look to you. We thank you for being our teacher, for opening our eyes and our ears, Lord, to receive from you that which we need in our lives. Turn us, change our heart, and cause us to grow in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Acts chapter 19. This is a quick story of Paul passing through a place called Ephesus. Who knows where modern-day Ephesus is? What country?
Turkey.
Where?
Turkey.
What are you already thinking of Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Okay, it's in Turkey. It's in modern-day Turkey, in the ruins of the Ephesians meeting places. Some of the spots where the church met are still there today. They're in Ephesus. So we're in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." That was the message of John the Baptist. "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." And notice verse 7. I never noticed this till late last night. I said, wow, that's pretty cool. "And all the men were about how many?"
12.
Isn't that cool? It's almost like the Lord's saying, here's another 12. Like a baker's dozen, right? You know, here's another dozen. Boom. God fills them with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? They go out and change the world. Amen? Isn't that exciting? 12 men can change the world. Okay, now John 20. Turn over to John 20, a little bit to your left. John 20. We're going to look at verses 19. This is right after Jesus has risen from the dead. John chapter 20, verse 19. "The same day at evening, being the first day of the week." What day of the week is that?
Sunday.
I know you think of Monday as the first day of the week, but in the Lord's mind and in, you know, man's history, Sunday is first day of the week. "When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." What happened just then when it says they were glad when they saw the Lord? They got born again. You see, what does it take to be born again? What does it take to become a child of God? You believe that Jesus died, was buried, and what? Resurrected. And that he's the Son of God, right? Those are the qualifications to become a child of God. When they saw Jesus, and he said unto them, Peace, and he showed them his side, which was proof of, I'm the one. I'm the guy that was hanging on the cross. I'm the guy that they pierced, remember? And they remembered, and they go, you really are Jesus. And at that moment, it says they were glad. They were born again. Verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you." He wanted them to be assured. I know you ran off on me. You abandoned me in the garden. But I want to tell you, it was for a purpose. I was supposed to die. Peace be unto you. And so he says it again. "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, skip down to verse 26, please. Verse 26. "And after 8 days, again, the disciples were with him and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said," what? "Peace be unto you." He's got a consistent message, doesn't he? Right? And then down in verse 31. Is it 31? Yeah, verse 31. "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Well, in this chapter, in these moments, we see that the disciples saw the resurrected Jesus, believed on Jesus, received his peace, received the Holy Spirit into them. And what happened in that moment? They were born again. But Jesus said, before you go out, don't leave Jerusalem until what? This is later in Acts chapter 1. He said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. So even though they had walked with him 3 years, they had ate with him, slept with him, studied him, watched this man, observed him, saw miracles he did, miracle after miracle, he still said, wait. You haven't got what you need. Why? Because there's another experience besides being born again that the believers needed. And that's what he was teaching them. And that's what we're talking about today. Let me give you this note. If you're taking notes, you want to write this down. At salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in us. Say, in us. That's what the disciples received there in John 20. Did you see it? He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. So they took him in because Jesus exhaled. He breathed on them and they breathed in. And what happened? They received the Spirit. At salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in us, reproducing the life of Jesus. At baptism of the Holy Spirit, talked about in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. You see the difference? At salvation, he comes in us. At the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he comes upon us, reproducing the ministry of Jesus. So salvation reproduces the life of Jesus coming out of a believer. The baptism of the Holy Spirit experience comes upon the believer to reproduce what? Not life, but the ministry or the works of Jesus, right? And thus we see in the book of Acts, by about chapter 2, just in the opening chapters of the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The disciples then went out and reproduced the very Acts, thus the name Acts. it's intentional. They didn't just pick that out of the blue. The reason the book was called that is because the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples reproduced in them the very ministry they had seen Jesus do for 3 years on the earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's true, whether you say amen or not. Amen. All right, John chapter 1, verse 29. Look over there. We're going to hit two verses in the Gospels real quick. John 1, 29. I want you to see two roles that Jesus plays in our life. There are more than two roles, but these are two key roles that Jesus plays. Number one is described in John 1, 29. The next day, John sees Jesus. This is John the Baptist, not John who wrote John, but John the Baptist. There were lots of Johns. Okay, John the Baptist was the one who is talked about here. John sees Jesus coming unto him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Read that with me. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is called here the Lamb of God. Now look over in Matthew chapter 3, and verse 11. Matthew 3:11. Oh, I'm in Malachi 3:11. That's not good. That's a good chapter, but that's not where I want to be. Okay, Matthew 3:11. I indeed, this is John the Baptist also speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I. Say, mightier than I. And who would that be? Jesus. Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, that's not a Pentecostal church statement. That's written in the Bible, in case you didn't know it. And it was spoken by John the Baptist. Incidentally, this promise of Jesus coming and baptizing or immersing, because that's what the word baptize means. It means to totally immerse in, okay? Jesus coming to immerse in the Holy Ghost and fire. This promise is written in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Interesting, isn't it? Did you know that not everything is said in all four Gospels? But whenever there is something that's said in all four, God was trying to get our attention. Amen? You know, a parent repeats things to a child, intentionally, right? 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 Yes. And so when God repeats something four times, it's to be noted. And Jesus is described in all four Gospels as being the one who would come and baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now let me give you these two statements. As Lamb of God, Jesus meets our need of salvation. Say salvation. Salvation. How does he do that? He becomes the Lamb of God who died in our place. As the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, Jesus meets our need of power. Say power.
Power.
The disciples studied Jesus. They knew about Jesus up here. But Jesus said, you're not ready to go out yet. You need what? Power. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. Praise the Lord. Now turn over to, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Several books to the right. To the right, to the right, to the right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Because many times when you talk about speaking in tongues, people go, oh no. Here comes that tongues thing. It's not for the faint of heart, let me tell you. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, that's not unique to those two races, for sure. You ever met somebody that says, I won't believe it unless I see it? Yep. What are they doing? They're seeking for a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. What does that mean? Someone looks at you and says, well, that doesn't make sense to me. What are they doing? They're seeking after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a what? A stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. Say foolishness. Foolishness. What I'm talking to you about today, to some people's mind, would be considered foolishness. The very idea, the very notion that we can speak in a language not our own by the power of the Holy Spirit is considered by many foolishness. And Paul said right here, he said, these things are considered foolishness. Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews. It's foolishness to the Greeks. Look at verse 24. But unto them which are called. Who's that? Hallelujah. That's us. It's not foolish to us, is it? Nope. To them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. The cross is a stumbling block between lost man and the Lamb of God. Speaking in tongues is a stumbling block between many believers and he who is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus. Amen? Do you see it? Jesus came as the Lamb of God who gives us salvation. He came as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Both those names, both those titles were introduced by who? Creepy John. John the Baptist, right? He said, behold the Lamb of God. He said, behold the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Which is foolishness to many people. In fact, it's freakishness to many people. I mean, we only have one tongue in our mouth. What is this speaking in tongues thing? Does that mean you got more than one tongue in your mouth? Do you grow an extra tongue in order to speak? You know, the very name kind of spooks some people, doesn't it? There's nothing to be spooked by it. Although God's pretty upfront, isn't he? I mean, you know, on the day of Pentecost, it says right there, Acts 2:4, boom, just opens. God holds nothing back. He wasn't trained in sales. You know, in sales, they train you, don't tell the price till the very end of the presentation, right? But God says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in other tongues. He just lets it all out right off the bat, right? Years ago, we had a rainbow vacuum cleaner salesperson come to our house. How many of you ever had a rainbow vacuum? Some of you aren't old enough to know what a rainbow vacuum cleaner is. I'm sure it's long out of business. We were a young couple and very vulnerable. The younger, sometimes vulnerable. We were very vulnerable. And somehow word got to us, you know, will you please, I guess it was a formal appointment as I recall. And this person came to our door, and after about an hour or so of me sitting there going, and they're talking to us about this amazing vacuum cleaner. It's unique in that it has a pool of water or something in it that sucks the dirt and throws it into water instead of a bag, so it's much cleaner. It keeps your air much cleaner. And they're going on and on and on. And then after about an hour, hour and a half, Terry sees me dragging the front water hose through the living room because this person's getting ready to demonstrate this water-based vacuum cleaner. She's going, what are you doing? And then we find out the price at the end of the presentation, which was like $1,200 or $2,000. Anything with three zeros back then for us might as well have had nine zeros in the number. It was that unaffordable to us at that stage in our life. But we were not told the price up front. Why? Because a good salesman doesn't want to run off someone before they present the whole picture. But God is not your average good salesman, is he? No, he puts right up front when he's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Put up Acts 2:4, please, Alan. Acts 2:4, you'll see it here on the screen. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. God uses this very phenomenon of speaking in tongues as a sifter to those who say, well, I want more of God, but I'm not sure I want that tongues thing. Right? You know, God used different things throughout biblical history for sifters. For example, he had his Messiah, our Savior, born where? In a palace? In a barn. Ever been in a barn? I don't care how clean they've kept it lately. It's still going to reek. Right? Right, David? Yeah, it might have even just now cleaned it out, but it's still going to smell like a barn. But God used a barn to sift out those who would not believe in He who was the Savior of the world, right? Amen. Years later, that Savior grew up, and he was talking to a rich young ruler. He said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The guy thought he had done everything he needed to do. And Jesus said, "One more thing, sell all." God just tells him the price right up front. Sell all. $2,000 for that rainbow vacuum cleaner. Just tells him everything right up front. Sell all. And he went away sad. See, God uses certain things to sift those who would try to lay hold of kingdom realities but don't want to pay the price. And speaking in tongues just goes hand in hand with being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you from experience, there's nothing scary about it. It's glorious. Amen. I liken this experience to the gateway. You know, in the drug world, they say that marijuana is the gateway. They call that the gateway drug, and it truly is. It's very innocent on the surface. It is a maybe an easy thing for young people to walk into, maybe old people too, I don't know. But for people to walk into, it's not, you know, immediately harmful or apparently to them. And it is the gateway that makes it easy for people then later to get into hard drugs that can actually harm them terribly. Well, speaking in tongues, I liken to that word gateway. It's different from marijuana, but it is definitely the gateway experience. It's quite different. And it is the gateway experience for the believer to step in what? To all the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When you read in 1 Corinthians 14 about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are amazing gifts. How many of you have ever operated in a gift of the Holy Spirit? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, working of miracle. Anybody in here worked a miracle before by the hand, you know, by God working through you? Yeah. How did that come? It came as you stepped through the initial gateway of being baptized by the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. And in that experience, as you opened your spirit up to this strange encounter to your natural mind, right? What happened? Your spirit was awakened to the spirit realm in a way that you could then receive from God all these other things, miracles, healings, other dimensions of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, Pastor, doesn't every Christian have the Holy Spirit when they get born again? Yes, they do. As we read in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you to even accept Jesus as your Lord. The Holy Spirit comes in you at that moment and changes your life, does He not? Yes, of course. But it's one thing to have the Holy Spirit. It's another thing for the Holy Spirit to have you. And when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God coming in and in a more rich experience, in a more rich way, Him taking your life in His hands in a wonderful way, not a dominating way, not a way that leaves you out of control. You see, demonic spirits violate people. The Holy Spirit liberates people. Amen. I'll say that again. Satan and his unclean spirits violate. The Holy Spirit liberates. Amen? You say, well, isn't every Christian baptized by the Holy Spirit? Put up 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this. By one spirit we are all, say all. We're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one spirit. When you got born again, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into what? Into Christ. You were immersed into Jesus. Now, you didn't see anything outward happen in that way, but I'm just saying that's a spiritual reality that happened. You got put into Jesus Christ. That's what this verse is saying. You were baptized into one body. What does that one body represent? The local church, right? It's expressed or experienced in the local church. That's why it's important for believers to come to church, because you've been baptized into the body of Christ. We are the local body of Christ. Amen. There is a worldwide body of Christ, and that's the name Catholic, if you didn't know it. When they say the Catholic Church, they mean the universal church. And there is a Catholic Church. There is a universal church. Everyone who believes upon Jesus on this globe is in this one body that this verse is talking about. And they too have been baptized into Christ. Amen? But what we're talking about is something different. We're not talking about being baptized by the Spirit into Christ. I know this sounds like I'm splitting hairs, but there is a slight difference. We're talking about being baptized by Jesus. And the element is the Holy Spirit. And it's a separate experience from salvation, as we saw in Acts chapter 19. Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we haven't even heard of him. Right? So let me give you these 4 points if you're taking notes. Anytime we're talking about baptism, whether it's water baptism, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or as this verse describes, baptism into the body of Christ, you have four points that you need to keep in mind. Number one, who's the baptizer? Who's the one doing the baptizing? Here coming up later this summer, we'll have another water baptism. So if you've never been immersed in water as a symbol of your acceptance of Jesus, we'll give you the opportunity to be water baptized. In that case, in water baptism, the minister is the baptizer, right? That's the one who dunks the person underwater. So the questions come up, who's the baptizer? What's the element? What's the purpose? And what's the evidence? Let me give you those four again. Who's the baptizer? What's the element? What's the purpose? And what's the evidence? Now, in what we're talking about today, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptizer is who? Jesus. Because John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What's the element? I just gave you the answer. The Holy Spirit, right? In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not being immersed in water. You're being immersed in the Holy Spirit. What's the purpose? I told you early on. Power. The baptizer of the Holy Spirit, Jesus in that role, meets our need for power. Amen? Power. And what's the evidence? The glorious release of this heavenly language. Amen? And Paul described it like this. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, what does that mean? So when those who speak in tongues, sometimes their tongues will be actual languages here on earth. You'll be speaking Spanish and you don't know how to speak a Spanish. Or you'll be speaking French and you don't know how. And then he said, I'll speak also in tongues of angels. What does that mean? Well, there's dialects in heaven we never heard before. And sometimes when you speak in tongues, it comes out like something you never heard before, right? On the day of Pentecost, the crowd declared this. These Jews gathered around that upper room and they said this to Peter. They said, we hear men speaking in languages that we're familiar with. And what are they doing? Declaring the wonders of God. So when you speak in tongues, you're doing what? You're declaring the wonders of God. You ever gone outside and looked at a starry, you know, night and, oh, the wonders of God, and words escape you? Why? Because your mind is limited. The human mind is limited for words. I always admire people who are great orators, people who can get up and just, you know, they just sound like they wrote the dictionary, right? But, you know, the human mind is limited. You can only say so many things when you're feeling this overwhelming sense of awe in the presence of God. Well, when you speak in tongues, your spirit can declare in the language of men and of angels the wonders of God. And you can go on forever. It's glorious. And I want to note this. This phenomenon is unique to the New Testament. Read your Bible from Genesis to Malachi. You'll never see one time a person spoke in tongues in the Old Testament. Right? Those of you that know the word, you know I'm talking the truth. And yet in 1 Corinthians 14, we see the description of 9 gifts of the Spirit, 2 of them being a message in tongues and an interpretation in tongues. Those are 2 of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. You'll never see that happen in the Old Testament. It's unique to the New Covenant. It's as if God says, I'm coining a new experience to go along with this new covenant. Amen? He said, this is an all new covenant, and here's an experience you never heard of before. It's called speaking in tongues. Now, I want to have Alan put up a few points. You can take a picture of this slide in a moment. These are a few points that, to me, are the wonders of this beautiful gift God gives us of being able to speak in heavenly language. Number one, it's a permanent gift. It's a permanent gift. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get immersed in Him, and this language comes out of you. It becomes a permanent part of your spiritual makeup. You can speak in tongues anytime. You can be driving down the road. Ladies, you can be doing dishes. Men, you could be doing dishes. Ladies, you could be doing whatever. You can be doing anything, and you could be speaking in tongues at the same time. It's an amazing thing. It's a permanent gift. Say permanent gift. It's on tap anytime you want. Now the other 9 gifts of the Spirit are not that way. I can't work a miracle just anytime I want. Can I? It has to be given to me. It's a working of miracles given to the believer at the moment that you need it. But speaking in tongues, you can activate anytime you like. Isn't that wonderful? It's on tap. Number two, it's a worship gift to magnify God at a higher level. Hey, saints, don't miss this. Don't think of speaking in tongues as just being a prayer language. It's a worship language. Amen. In your private devotions at home, you can take any tune we sing here at church and you can sing that tune in tongues. Amen. Just let it flow in a greater measure. Take any melody and you can sing with it in this heavenly language. It is a worship gift for you and I to express to God. Number three, it enables vertical and horizontal function. What on earth do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I'll say it. Paul said, pray without ceasing. And you know, sometimes you just can't kneel down at work and pray unceasingly. But you can be carrying a box from the warehouse to the storehouse or wherever, and you could be functioning vertically, horizontally on this earth, and yet be what? Speaking vertically, speaking to God directly in that heavenly language, under your breath, of course. Don't freak out your employees, your fellow employees. All right? But you can activate vertical communion with God in the midst of horizontal living. Are you with me? And you can fulfill that command where Paul said, pray without ceasing. Number four, it edifies the user and it strengthens the arm of faith. Isn't this good? When you pray in the Spirit or when you speak in the Spirit, that language that God gives you in this experience, you are edifying yourself. What do we mean by edify? Build up. Amen? You feel kind of low? Speak in tongues. Give it about 10, 15 minutes, you'll feel pretty high. Why? Because speaking in tongues edifies the user. Amen?
Amen.
Number five, do we have it up there? Yeah, declaring mysteries. Declaring mysteries. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, I think the opening verse is around 2 or 3, it says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God, and he is declaring mysteries. We say, what's the significance of that? Why would we want to declare mysteries? Because if you know anything about God, you know this. Anytime God created something, he first what? Spoke it. God said, let there be light. And then God saw the light manifest, right? God said, and then God saw. Years ago on Wednesday nights, we started dedicating an hour of prayer before our Wednesday night service from 6 to 7. And we would do nothing but put on worship music and pray in tongues as a group in our hotel room there at La Quinta. And after a while of doing that, months and months of doing that, one day the Lord put in our heart what? The Nolan Ryan Center.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that up ever. But the Lord dropped that in our heart and said, go for it. And that became our next home. Why? Because I believe during that period of that season while we were praying in tongues, we were speaking the mysteries of God. Where's our next place, Lord? Where are you sending us next? Where's our next building? We're about ready to outgrow La Quinta. And God was speaking through us that whole while we were speaking in that heavenly language. We were praying for our church. And as we prayed out, we were declaring the mysteries of God, and the mystery happened to be the Nolan Ryan Center. And one evening, I was coming home from work in Houston. There at the piano store, I stopped by Lupi Tortillas to pick up some carryout. And as I'm getting back in my car, and a man comes out after me. I was already seated in my car. I'm looking forward. And he's coming out of the restaurant, and he turns, and he gets in his truck. Well, as he turns, he's wearing a Houston Astros baseball jersey, right? And what number would he happen to have on the back of the baseball jersey but number 34? Nolan Ryan. And God was confirming, there it is. There it is. And a short while later, we got the approval with the college that we were accepted to use the Nolan Ryan Center for our church. Why? Because all the while we were praying, we were declaring the mysteries of God. So it's very significant that speaking in tongues enables us to declare mysteries. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Those of you that already have this experience, I hope you're gaining some new insight today. Don't ever come to a subject in the Bible and say, I already know it all. I hope you grab something new. Let me give you this phrase. It's so good. Jesus went to the cross and poured out his blood as the Lamb of God to save us, so that he could ascend to the throne in heaven and pour out his Spirit as our baptizer to empower us. Isn't that good? Let me say that again. Jesus went to the cross, poured out his blood as our Lamb of God to save us, so he could ascend to the throne, pour out his Spirit as our baptizer to empower us. Can you say praise the Lord? You say, you know, Christian may say, well, I'm all about The Holy Spirit. I want more holiness in my life. I like the idea of power being in my life. But do I have to speak in tongues? No, you don't have to. You get to. You get to. James chapter 3. Look at James chapter 3 in your Bibles. James chapter 3 and verse 3. Let's look at what God was doing when he activated our tongue as part of this experience we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. James chapter 3. James is right near the back of the book, near Revelation. If you're flipping, flipping. James chapter 3, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. One translation says we keep their whole body in check. Now skip down to verse 8. These are all good verses, but I want, for the sake of time, look at verse 8. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly member, an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. What did God do in this experience called speaking in tongues? He zeroed in on the most unruly member in man, in his physical anatomy, and said, I'll get you. Yeah. Why? Because if God can get a hold of your tongue, he can get a hold of what? Your whole being. That's what James tells us right here. Now that's not to say that everybody who speaks in tongue is totally tame. We're in process, amen? We're in process. You may meet a Holy Ghost filled tongue talking Christian and you go, well, they don't seem very restrained. They don't seem very self-controlled. We're not perfect yet, but we're getting there, amen? And it starts with God getting a hold of our tongue, the most unruly member. Now, unregenerate man deifies the intellect, the brain, and measures everything based on the limited on the limitations of that esteemed muscle in our cranium. But speaking in tongues is a phenomenon that actually bypasses the brain. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Tell you a fascinating story. About 8 years ago, Jerry Savelle, very famous preacher, had a terrible stroke. It was very similar to the stroke my dad had and got miraculously healed of years ago. But Jerry's whole right side was paralyzed. His right arm, he couldn't move his right arm, his right leg. He couldn't hardly speak. In fact, by the time they got him stabilized from this stroke he had had, that he could only speak one word. Yes. And the doctors would ask him a question, and question after question, the only word he could say was yes. His son-in-law tried to play a joke on him and came to him one day and said, you know, Jerry, you've been talking about for a good while now how you're going to give me that whatever year it was, 67 Mustang, because Jerry had quite an antique car collection. He says, you know, I just want you to remind you that the other day when we were in your hospital room here, you had told me that I could have that car. You do want me to have it, don't you? And guess what Jerry said? It was the one time he changed his tune. No. He pulled some brain power together to get that word out. But other than that experience with his son-in-law, he was very limited while he was damaged by that stroke. During the time he was in the hospital, a good friend of his, Kenneth Copeland, came to pray for Jerry and minister to him. He stayed in his room for about 2 hours, reading him scripture and praying over him in the spirit. While Kenneth was praying for Jerry, Jerry joined in with him and did what? He prayed in tongues for those 2 hours in a heavenly language, although his only English verbiage was one word, actually two, including the son-in-law word, but yes and no. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
What happened there? His spirit could pray in a fluent language, a fluent dialect, apart from his intellect, which was very limited by the stroke. Why? Because speaking in tongues bypasses your brain. Aren't you glad? What man deifies, what man exalts as being, if I can't figure this out, it must not be real. God says, I got a way to bypass the limitations of what you call real.
Yeah.
And it's this heavenly language we're talking about. Look at on the screen real quick. We'll put up 1 Corinthians 14:14. And I must add, since that time, yes, Jerry Savelle has been completely healed from that stroke. He was miraculously healed. One day he was going into he had a big garage out back of his house where he kept all these antique cars he collected. And he could only, of course, his right arm was the limp arm. And he went to go turn the key to lock up the garage as he and his granddaughter were leaving, and instead of his left arm, he reached up with his right arm, and at that moment the Lord healed him. Boom. healed him. And his granddaughter said, look, Grandpa, you're using your right arm. And he had gone in and started off. That's a long story. I'll tell you another time. Anyways, praise the Lord. He's healed. All right, where are we? 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Read that out loud with me. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Did you know, how many of you got saved after the age of 20? You accepted Jesus after you were 20 years old. Anybody in here? Yeah, most of us. Some good portion, about half. Okay, so think of it. For the first 20 years or more of your life, your spirit was silent, was mute, until what? The day you got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And your spirit was released to speak for the first time ever. Your born-again spirit was released to speak. That is amazing to me. The mind, it says here, is unfruitful, but my spirit is the one that's praying. You might also word that verse like this. If I sing in an unknown tongue, my spirit sings. If I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit speaks. Amen? What Jesus did for us as becoming our baptizer in the Holy Spirit is he awakened our spirit to have a voice. Aren't you glad?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And your human spirit, now born again by Jesus, it is so full of joy and so full of power and revelation. It can't limit itself to just English. I'll tell you a fascinating story. This is from Ryan's previous church. Doc Barkley was in the jungles of South America, I believe it was, and got a girl delivered from demonic possession. No, it was Africa, wasn't it? Sorry, Africa. He was in Africa and got her delivered from demonic possession. She was chained to a tree out in the forest because she was so untamable. And she spoke no English. But I believe at the time of she got saved, she was saying, thank you, Jesus, or something, wasn't it? Like, thank you, Jesus. She was praising Jesus in English. And it wasn't until later when he was on his plane flying back that the Lord revealed to him. He said, did you see, you almost missed the greater miracle. He said, what, Lord? And then he realized, oh, that girl came from a village that didn't speak a lick of English. But when she got saved and gloriously filled with the Spirit, she spoke out in English, praises to God. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. A couple of quick points, and then we're going to take a few moments after the service and pray for those that want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is your day. And the Lord's going to fill you. He's going to immerse you. And he's going to give you this language that I'm talking about that releases your spirit man to express itself to God without limitation, without being bottlenecked by the brain. Amen? So in a few moments, what we're going to do, we're going to stand together, not just yet, but I'm going to meet you over in this area here where Dr. Burt was praying for folks the other night, just off to my right, your left. Those that want to stay behind, I won't take a long time with you, but we're going to pray and your life is going to be changed forever. When my daughter got baptized in the Holy Spirit, her spirit life came alive like nothing we could imagine. She was about 13 or so, wasn't she? Between 10 and 13. Younger. Okay, 9, 10, whatever it was. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit at kids' camp, and her spiritual life came alive. And if you've never had this experience, I'm telling you, your spiritual walk is about to launch to a whole new level. You won't be limited by just your human brain on understanding who Jesus is. Your spirit's going to come alive in a way that just, it's indescribable. But I want to just give you a few quick points and then we're going to pray for you. Number one, Jesus is the one who immerses us in his Holy Spirit. And notice what John the Baptist said there in that promise. He said he'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. You say, Pastor, what's the fire all about? Well, you can ask many people who have gone through this experience and they'll tell you, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, there was stuff in my life and the Lord just burned it out of me, right? You ever had someone say that? It's not a fire that harms you physically or in any other way, but the Lord has this way of just stepping into our world and purifying our life from things that are contaminants, amen? And so there's a beautiful refinement that happens as part of this experience. Feelings are irrelevant. Some people have a really amazing experience when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They have goosebumps. They have hair stand up on the back of their head. Whatever. Their skin turns yellow. What? I don't know what all happens. But they have a near resurrection encounter when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That doesn't have to be your encounter. Why? Because feelings are the shifting sand way of validating anything from God. It's very shifty. And feelings are the insecure connection. You ever been somewhere and you've tried to, you know, hook in your phone to Wi-Fi and it says, by the way, you're on an insecure connection? That makes you feel real good, doesn't it? Especially if you got to do banking, you know, while you're away from home. It says insecure connection. Listen, if you're dealing with feelings only in how you interpret your spiritual experience with the Lord, you are dealing with an insecure connection. What do I mean by that? It's susceptible to the devil's lies.
Yeah.
And your own fleshly doubts. You're dealing with an insecure connection when you're dealing with feelings, right? Because feelings can come and go.
Yeah.
We're not talking about feelings today. You may not feel a thing, but it's a very real encounter that you will have with Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Number three, we're not talking about demonic possession. As I said earlier, Satan possesses, God feels. Satan violates, God liberates. And God does not make robots.
Amen.
Man does. God makes people. Amen. And God deals with partners. Partners. God wants to partner with you. What do I mean by that? Well, in this experience, you've got some raw material to bring to the table. Just like the Jews of old, when Jesus said, when he came to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, it said he did what? He said, roll away the stone. They had a part to play. Now, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Don't you think he could have rolled the stone away with just a wisp of his finger? He should have just gone, whoop, and that stone would have rolled away on its own. But he decided to include those around him in the miracle. So he asked them to roll away the stone. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be included in the miracle. What does that mean? It means you're going to use your tongue, your teeth, your lips, your mouth, your breath to form words. But the Holy Spirit will give you the words, right? It's a very unique experience, but we will be a partner in that experience with the Lord. Again, quoting from Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they began to speak. I love that word, began. They began. That was the first opening syllables of the Church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? The very first words of that baby. It wasn't mama. Who knows what it was? But it was, they were declaring praises to God. And it says, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit in this experience will give you the words to say, but you're going to have to open your mouth and let him fill it. Amen?
Amen.
One last verse here in Luke 11:11. If you'll put that up for us, please. Luke 11:11. Look what the promise is from Jesus. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Some translations say a scorpion. God's not going to give you a stone, which would be useless if you were hungry for fish, right? I go in for a fish sandwich. I don't want a rock on my buns. I want fish in there, right? And so Jesus said he won't give you a rock if you're asking for a fish, and he won't give you a scorpion. Can you say praise the Lord? I'm glad there's no scorpion coming my way or a serpent when I'm asking for fish. What does that mean? God's not going to give you something harmful. You may have been taught growing up in your church, that these people that speak in tongues, they've actually received something from the devil. No, it's not from the devil. That would be harmful, right? It's a good thing. Amen. Our Father gives good things to those that ask. Praise the Lord. By the way, if you hadn't heard of it, there was an experience years and years ago. The way that the charismatic experience was brought to the Catholic Church was quite fascinating. There was three men from Duquesne University, professors, and they had read the book Crossing the Switchblade by David Wilkerson, and They Speak with Other Tongues. And I'm not sure who the author is on that. Some of you may have read that book, They Speak with Other Tongues. It's been around a while. They read those two books, these three professors, and they took a group of 30 Catholic students to a retreat center for the weekend, and they were going to seek the Lord for this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. While they were there, the retreat center's well, I guess they use well water instead of city water, that well dried up. And so they were getting ready. They were thinking, well, we're going to have to cancel this retreat. They were just going to send everybody home, and they were kind of bummed about it. And then someone spoke up, and they said, well, you know, if Jesus could turn water into wine, don't you think he could put water in a well? And so they decided to pray. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they sought the Lord. And guess what? They opened the faucet, and water came out. And they were all so excited, and they all stayed for the weekend, and they all got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was the beginning of what we call the Catholic charismatic renewal that happened in the last 30, 40 years, and has seen millions of Catholics come to experience this, what I'm talking to you about today, this speaking in other tongues. But what if they had just, instead of turning on the faucet, what if they had just barely turned on that faucet and just let one drop out, right? Or if they hadn't turned the faucet on at all? They could have prayed and said, we believe there's water in that well now. But they would not have seen the water come out until they did what? Turn on the faucet. And in the same way, when you get prayed for in a few moments, I'm going to pray for you, and you'll have to what? Turn on the faucet. You'll have to open your mouth, right? And then let the Holy Spirit put the words in it, and the water will flow. Amen?
Amen.
The water will flow. Praise the Lord. By the way, I'm not going to teach you how to speak in tongues. We don't do that here. I had a friend years ago, a musician, who told me the incredible story of going to a church, a Pentecostal church, when he was younger. And they actually tried to teach him down at the altar when they prayed for him how to speak in tongues. And they said, now just repeat after me. Come see my tie. Come tie my tie. Come see my tie. Come tie my tie. Come see my tie. Come tie my tie. And they can try to get him to repeat a tricky phrase over and over fast in order to get him filled with the Spirit, supposedly. And other people have said things like, well, just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus real fast and you'll be speaking. We're not going to teach you to speak in tongues. We're not going to teach you to come see my tie, right? We're gonna simply pray for you, and you're just going to receive. We're just going to help you receive that which Jesus gives you. Amen? And Jesus is the baptizer. Every time I've prayed for someone to receive the Holy Spirit, nearly every time I can think of, they've gotten it. Why? Because I'm not dependent on myself. I'm not there to teach them anything. I'm not there to trick them. I'm there to just release He who is the baptizer. He who immerses those believers in the things of the Spirit and gives them this heavenly language. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand together. So if you're here today and this is a new experience for you, but you say, I want this. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in other tongues. This is your moment. Amen? And we're just going to meet you over here. We're going to pray. It won't take long. We'll just be a few extra minutes. And we're going to pray. But there's something in this experience that will change you forever. I'm telling you, you will connect with Jesus in a way you've never connected. In fact, this experience to me is the fulfillment of that verse that says, we are accepted in the Beloved. Yes. I don't know how many of you relate to it, but when I was 12 years old when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all I could do is just cry. I just cried and spoke in tongues there at the altar. And in this crying, there was just such a release of my spirit. Why? Because I was connecting to God as my Father. Abba, Father, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I was overwhelmed with the love of God. And I'm sure many of you have had that similar experience, that you're just this sense of overwhelming. God just filling you with the acceptance of being His son or daughter. Amen?
Amen?
So we're going to pray for you in just a moment for this. Don't leave here if you're desiring this experience. Don't leave here today unfulfilled. Don't leave here without it. Amen?
Amen?
It will change your life. It will change your prayer life forever. It will step you into a new dimension in the Spirit. As I said earlier, it's a gateway into the things of the Spirit. There'll be times, and you've heard stories, I have too, where mothers have heard, you know, my son's been in a car accident or this or that. And they've gotten word that was just very upsetting word. And what did they do? They blurted out in tongues, right? God just gave them a prayer in this heavenly language that helps set the situation free. I've heard many stories like this. And people don't know how to pray. Jesus said, when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us.
Amen?
Amen? So your prayer life is going to be expanded. And more than anything, Jesus said, you need this as power to be a witness for me. You know, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, Peter had been denying of Jesus days before. Just days before, he had totally betrayed Jesus and in fear for his own life had denied that he even knew him. But on the day of Pentecost, he stood up in front of 3,000 or more Jews in the city of Jerusalem and gave bold testimony to who Jesus was. Why? Because he had been filled with power, power to be a witness, power to even lay down his life if necessary for the name of Jesus. So God's going to fill you with power. He's going to immerse you in this experience of being His accepted child of God. Amen? So in just a moment, as we dismiss, please don't leave. If you need this experience, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, meet me and Terry and I over here by these side doors, and we're going to pray for you, and you're going to be filled, and your life will be changed forever. Amen?